All Conan again today. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. On Jimmy Kimmel's show, Jimmy Kimmel congratulated Conan O'Brien on his final show, joking, "Here's to Conan and Andy Richter, and congratulations to Jay Leno on his new time slot at TBS. That joke rules. We should just go home right now. Great job, Jimmy Kimmel writers." Chris Pratt was on Jimmy Kimmel's show and said, "Jimmy, thank you so much for letting me be part of this incredible night. It's just so nice to be able to congratulate you in person. Come on, guys, on his last show, we got you a cake, and don't worry, pal. Now that you won't be on TV anymore, you can have as much as that cake as you want." Jimmy Kimmel clarified it was not his last show, it's Conan's. However, Jimmy is taking a summer break like he did last year. And if you host a daily podcast that likes to lead off with monologue jokes and you've lost Trevor Noah and Jimmy Kimmel for the summer, you are now in a complete panic. Yikes. Over on Late Night with Seth Meyers, Kristen Schaal thanked Seth Meyers and said, "Thanks for having me on the last night of Conan's show." Now, did you know in 2009, Conan O'Brien was banned from the entire state of New Jersey? Yeah, Newark Mayor Cory Booker had banned him, apparently, way back in 2009. When Conan was hosting The Tonight Show for those 5 minutes, Conan did a segment where he lauded Newark's virtues while showing images of urban neglect. A reference to its art scene was accompanied by a graffiti-covered wall. Mayor Cory Booker did not appreciate that. Well, it's 12 years later, and Senator Cory Booker tweeted, "In honor of Conan's remarkable legacy, I'm proud to officially lift the ban. Thank you, Conan, for the years of laughter, generosity, and kindness you have shared with me and millions around the world." Stephen Colbert said, "Conan is a dear friend and a lovely fellow who's been nothing but a strength and a great source of advice for me as I took over a late night show. And I want to congratulate him on 24 incredible years and several perfectly fine ones as well. I hope he makes the most of his 6 days of retirement before starting work at HBO. He said Conan O'Brien will be missed and ended with, "Congratulations, Conan. We'll see you at Betty White's sex dungeon." As for Conan himself, in his final monologue, he said, "It's hard to believe, it's hard to say, it's our final show on TBS. Every night I always said, tonight we have a really great show, and I have to tell you, I was often lying. But tonight we really do have a great show, and if we don't, what are you going to do about it? I'll be long gone. I've devoted all of my adult life, all of it, to pursuing this strange phantom intersection between smart and stupid, and there's a lot of people who believe the two cannot coexist. But God, I will tell you, it is something that I believe religiously. I think when smart and stupid come together, it's very difficult, but if you can make it happen, I think it's the most beautiful thing in the world." My recaps here are cribbing from notes from The Hollywood Reporter and Vulture. The episode opened with a cold opening consisting of an exit interview between Conan O'Brien and Homer Simpson. Yes, it was animated, and I'll remind you that Conan started as a writer on The Simpsons. Conan asked Homer Simpson what his favorite moment from the show was. Homer pinpointed a moment that an actor gave a mildly interesting anecdote from the set of a movie that made Andy Richter fall asleep. Conan said, "Homer, you've pretty much described all the shows I've ever done." Conan told Homer he wanted to show him something he's never shown anyone before, and then revealed that he's bald. O'Brien thanked the Simpsons team for their amazing cold open. "I started working with them 31 years ago after all these years to be in a recording session with Al Jean, James L. Brooks, and Matt Groening. That gave me goosebumps." There were many clips of Conan being Conan, for example, reacting to Nicole Byer's frank sexual comments, or gleefully beating on a desk of a Haiti classroom during one of his Conan Without Borders specials. Jack Black appeared in a cast and with a cane. He sprained his ankle while rehearsing what was supposed to be a musical number in which he was going to pretend to get injured, but then he actually did get injured. Conan said, "When Carson went off the air and Letterman and all these legends go off the air, everything's meticulous. Of course, we would think of a bit with Jack where Jack pretends to get hurt and then while shooting it, actually gets hurt." Conan said, "I honestly love hosting a late night talk show. I always thought it was the job I was born to do, but every so often I like to try my hand at another career." He showed a montage of moments, including the time he acted as a Mary Kay beauty consultant, a commercial actor, and attended a dance rehearsal. He also shared some more Conan Without Borders clips. Towards the end of the show, he expressed thanks to everyone at TBS who never went back on their word of ensuring that they would support him. The people at TBS were nothing short of remarkable. He thanked Andy Richter, saying, "In another era, a sidekick was someone who sat next to the host and laughed along and just sort of supported them. They all had their special skills. When I found Andy Richter, he's one of the funniest people I've ever met. He's a brilliant man, and I love him forever." He also thanked Lorne Michaels, saying, "In 1993, when I was chosen to replace David Letterman, people thought it was a batshit crazy stupid idea. They didn't know me the way you do. I had no experience. I really shouldn't have had the job. One guy changed my life, Lorne Michaels. He said, I think that guy, and NBC said, the writer with the weird hair. Lorne put his credibility on the line. Lorne saw something in me. I'd like to think he was right. He changed my life, and I'll owe him forever. He's a great man. He also thanked Lisa Kudrow, who had more faith in me than I did. You wouldn't know me if it wasn't for Lisa Kudrow explaining she had encouraged him to take the hosting gig in the first place. His final thought, my advice to anyone watching right now is it's not easy to do, but try and do what you love with people you love, and if you can manage that, it's the definition of heaven on earth. Will Ferrell also appeared on the final episode. He made fun of how many farewell shows Conan has had and said, I love you, Conan, but if you don't mind, can I just pre-tape a few goodbyes and you can just use them when your next several shows flame out? That way we can just get it out of the way. That's great. Mindy Kaling, who began her writing career as an intern on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, took to social media saying, you're the best of the best. Thanks for always being the funniest person in the room, but more importantly, being kind. She added, also congrats to me. I look effing great in this photo. John Krasinski was also a Conan O'Brien intern. Wow. John said, as is evident from the grainy image, the year was 1973. The host was Conan O'Brien. The gentleman is without question one of my favorite and greatest inspirations, both in what funny is and what kindness is. Here's to Team Coco for tonight and every night. Thank you. Colbert tweeted, Conan, thank you for 28 wonderful years of late night shows. Now can I claim the title of Palace Hosts? Andy Richter talked to The Hollywood Reporter and said, I do feel one of the best things about our show is that we meant something to younger people, people younger than us that were serious about comedy in the same way that the shows that meant something to me when I was in my teenage years, my college years, and thinking about maybe I want to do comedy for a living, that we made an impression on people like that and helped form their senses of humor and what they wanted to do with television when they got a chance to do something with television. Daniel Feinberg is my favorite TV critic. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter. He interviewed Conan saying, working within the bubble of your own show, what awareness have you had of the half dozen new late night shows that launched in the past 18 months? Conan said, you know, it's funny because I'm not someone who ever, and I mean ever, sat down and said, well, time to bone up on the new shows or time to see what other people are doing, because that never helped me. I think sometimes people confuse comedy with sports and I think, oh, you must be studying how other people throw a left hook or they throw a left jab so you can prepare. I've always thought you're best when you just sail by your own compass. Now that we're in a maritime metaphor, by the way, whenever I can just try to be truest to myself and do my own thing, then I have an amazing web team that helps me adapt to these times. That's when I think I'm doing my job well. So looking at the other people, now that said, yeah, I'm definitely aware of. I see the clips the way the rest of us see clips. You can see clips of things. You check them out and you see what other people are doing. To that extent, I feel like I'm aware, but I'm not a regular viewer. I don't check in. I honestly probably wouldn't watch my show if I didn't have to. I'd be watching a dreary documentary about World War II. Watching other clips doesn't make me change my mind about what I'm doing. It doesn't make me want to recalibrate and think, ah, you know, I should incorporate more of that into my show. I think that would be a mistake. I think the things that have felt best for me over the last couple of years have come about organically. There are things I wouldn't have done in 93 or 98 or 2000 because it was a different culture. There was a different tech. People watched the shows differently. Vulture spoke to Jimmy Kimmel about Conan O'Brien. Kimmel said, I think I started watching him his premiere night. I was doing morning radio at the time, so I got up at 3 in the morning. I wasn't watching the show regularly, but I made a point to watch that opening night because I was such a Letterman fan. I was curious who would step into that spot, and I remember thinking, this guy seems funny and also clearly has a very dark sense of humor. His first show, he had this noose. I was reminded of that as I was getting ready to step into my own guillotine when my show started. He's obviously a very smart, bright guy and also just naturally funny guy. What's best about Conan is he seemed to be doing things that made him laugh. I think that's the best thing you can do. A lot of people worry, I think, too much about what the audience thinks, and that never seemed to be a concern of his. I mean, in the best possible way, not an insult. He really stayed true to the humor that he appreciated from the very beginning to the very end. I think I first met him at Martin Short's house. There are some people that are very funny on TV, and there are some people that are not that funny in real life. Then there are some people that are funny on TV and even funnier in real life. Conan is definitely in that category. He had me laughing hard for 4 hours straight. At a certain point, I wasn't even talking to him. I was just watching him. He had a few drinks and adopted a German accent. It was off to the races. He viciously insults people without any viciousness at all. You always know he's kidding, but he never stops. I think part of it is being so big, you're looking down on everyone, literally. So people don't even try to be funny in what you'd call real life, but he clearly loves it. Conan once said to me, you know, I've not really seen your show. I try not to watch other shows because I don't want to be influenced by them. And I nodded and agreed, even though the truth was, I've watched your show like 500 times. I've asked him on, I don't know, 3 different occasions when he was retiring. And on the third time, he's like, why do you keep asking me when I'm retiring? And I said, because I can't until you do. You should read the Vulture piece. Kimmel talks about his appearance on Jay Leno and some of his fights with Jay Leno. But he added, with Conan, there's no rivalry between us. It's just friendly. I was mad for him. Sometimes I feel like I was madder for him than he was, talking about the Leno Tonight Show thing. I won't get into it because I think Conan would hate to see much time devoted to Leno in this. But the guy has proven himself to be an American treasure. As far as television and comedy go, I hope he gets the send-off he deserves because he's been really good for a really long time, and that's hard. Vulture also spoke with Pete Holmes. Pete said, I'm a comedian, but I've always sort of been a 50-year-old retired antique store owner living in New Hampshire. I'm not really cut out perfectly for the lifestyle. That'll make sense when I tell you that when I moved to Chicago, Conan was on 1 hour earlier, and that hour made all the difference for my lame ass. That's when I really started watching him every night. I'm sure everybody says Masturbating Bear would be their favorite sketch, but I do remember Masturbating Bear. I was right at that age. I grew up religious. I wanted to do comedy. I was deeply ashamed of my sexuality and sexuality as a whole. Not just my sexuality. I was ashamed of your sexuality and everyone's sexuality. So I don't think I'm too out of bounds to say having a bit like that is simultaneously juvenile, but also strangely cathartic to laugh at our animal nature. There's so much lingering puritanical shame. And they're like, we're going to shine hot spotlights on a guy in a bear costume masturbating in the only way the network would approve, which is not a masturbation gesture, but more of mixing a salad. The silliness, it wasn't malicious. It's really interesting to watch some of the Letterman clips that have been passed around lately and see how poorly they've aged. I love Letterman, but that's what we thought late night hosts were. They were sort of irritated, and it was so fun to have somebody else that thought the whole thing was a big joke, a playground. That's actually something Conan said to me when I did my talk show with him. He said, the writers build a playground and it's your job to play on it. I took that advice to heart, but really I see him taking that advice. He's a guy who understands that his job is to not take it too seriously. His job is to have fun and be silly, and he really excels with that. And we'll wrap this up with something from the AV Club. They wrote, Conan never needed late night. It could be argued that Conan O'Brien never did get good at the late night fundamentals, as his initial red and flustering gave way to a notable inability to make transitions into each guest's requisite pre-cleared anecdotes sound conversational. Experience only made it more difficult for the aging O'Brien to feign interest in whatever WB series or debut pop album his third guest of the night was there to plug. The shift came when Conan seemingly remembered that he was Conan effing O'Brien, and with the boldness of a guy who knows things can't get any worse, started kicking against what he gratifyingly discovered with the self-imposed limits of just how much Conan O'Brien late night could encompass. This was the Conan who invented Springfield's monorail, and soon late night teamed with Masturbating Bears, the Walker Texas Ranger Lever, and the legendary meme-spawning heavy metal guitar god and judge of social propriety, Clive Clemens. Conan essentially went Conan, and while his decision to take over departing Jay Leno's plum gig on The Tonight Show was an infamous disaster, honestly, it couldn't have gone any other way without that earlier, much squarer late night institution sapping away all of Conan's Conan. As the Tonight Show faithful stared silently at any hint of O'Brien's off-the-wall comic originality and sparkling weirdness, the writing scrawled ever more bloody and ominous letters on the NBC wall until it seems to be Conan's most fruitful and natural state of mind. The straight-jacketed host just said F it and went out with a weeks-long Viking funeral of extravagantly silly budget expenditures and returning old-school bits, and one of the all-time classiest exit speeches in history. The current Jimmy Fallon-hosted incarnation shows just what it would have looked like if O'Brien had truly succumbed to his Tonight Show fate, a charmless cruise of effortful wackiness and placid fawning. That is your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Nice run, Conan.